shoes to the bumper and get ready to throw their ice. This back time is all about Wedded Bliss of October 6th. Marriage took a giant step forward in 1890 when polygamy was outlawed in the Mormon Church. On the rocks. Marriage took a giant step backward in 1991 when Elizabeth Taylor married Larry Fortensky at Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch. It was Taylor's eighth marriage. Marriage became, well, prettier in 1996 when the breathtakingly gorgeous Faith Hill and the ruggedly handsome Tim McGraw were married. That's back time for October 6th. This is your announcer speaking.
It's Vinnie Penn with your 760, the past 7 days in 60 seconds. Legendary actor Paul Newman passed away at 83. He'll be buried in a Newman's own coffin. Scarlett Johansson and Ryan Reynolds tied the knot in what was reported to be a half-hour ceremony. The divorce proceedings next month should take the same amount of time. It was announced that Bruce Springsteen will play this year's Super Bowl halftime show. With every seat filled and the boss on stage, that makes two sellouts. Janet Jackson canceled the Montreal concert after, quote-unquote, falling ill. Doctors diagnosed her with an acute case of poor ticket sales. Kim Kardashian was cut from Dancing with the Stars. No surprise there. The only dance she's good at is the horizontal bop. And the idiot of the week, Heather Locklear, who was arrested for DUI. She looked pretty hot in her mugshot. In fact, later that night, it turned into a tug shot. I'm Vinny Penn, and that was your 760.
From high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Monday, October 6th.
Hello, hello.
2008. And we are here at the new studio broadcasting to you.
It's about time.
Live. So this is pretty big. Huh? I mean, you're very far from me now.
I know. I feel so far away. I'm like on the opposite side of the room.
Well, we can take one table out here when we do our show, you know.
No, it's okay. Now I'm a little bit farther away from the death stairs you give me sometimes. I feel safer.
As long as you can see this far, that's good.
I've got perfect vision, dude. I'm good.
Yeah. You seem like so short because your chair is so low, but you're... You just slumped on the chair.
I'm just slumped today for many reasons. Yeah. Oy.
Well, we'll get to that in just a moment because I know you've got some amazing stories to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
We've been gone for, since Wednesday?
Yep.
So,
I've been getting a lot of emails and Facebook messages from some of our listeners. They're like, when the hell are you going to be back on the air?
I know.
It's like, I know, I'm sorry. I promise we'll be on Monday. So,
yeah.
True to our word.
I know, because people get used to it, you know, and they get up every morning and where the hell are you guys?
St. Louis Steve has been very depressed.
Yeah. You know, and... but you can thank our landlord for all that shit. But I don't know why it had to take him like 5 days to take the fucking furniture out of here. You know, I mean,
don't start cursing the new landlord yet. We want to start off on the right foot.
Well,
here,
Sam. I'm not cursing him, but I mean, I just don't understand that. You know, but you can tell that there's a little bit of echo here, so we need to put like carpets and fill it with furniture and stuff.
Definitely,
because it's still, and we've got hardwood floors. That doesn't really absorb the sound, so
nope. Yeah.
So we really need to work on the sound a little bit. But we did shows over the weekend, and
everything sounded good.
Everything sounded great.
Yay.
Yeah, yeah. It just said it was a friggin' sauna here yesterday, and you know what? I don't even want to talk about it anymore because I'm so sick of it. But suffice it to say, I called about 10 to 15 different places, air conditioning places, from the Yellow Pages, 24 hours, 7 days a week, emergency calls, blah, blah, blah. First of all, most of them don't even answer. They have like voicemail.
And that's supposed to be a 24-hour a day place?
Exactly. And then,
bullshit.
And then the big ones have people there, but so they'll take all the information from you only to tell you, oh, we can't come till Monday. You know, so it's
that's
like
ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's like fuck this. And then one guy wants like $180 just to come, not to fix. So, you know, I just said, you know, whatever the fuck, you know, but let me tell you, nobody came to our help and I'm really irritated, you know. So, I mean, yeah, I'm going to talk to
you're always irritated about something.
I know. Well, I'm going to talk to the landlord and let him know we're married now for 2 years, so we better learn how to get along, you know. It's very simple.
Well, at least it's nice and cool today, Sam.
Yeah. Yeah, and before we get into the stories, let me just describe. We have like a fun-filled show. We're going to have a a big author calling us in a few minutes, and his name is David Ignatius, and he wrote the book Body of Lies, which is a fiction book. And there's a movie coming out with Russell Crowe
and Leo,
Leonardo da Vinci.
No, DiCaprio. Not Leonardo da Vinci.
I always do that.
I don't think da Vinci would be so pleased with that mix-up.
No. but yeah, DiCaprio. And it looks like a really good movie, you know, like a lot of action and stuff. So we're going to talk to the author of that story in just a few minutes. And
that's super cool.
Yeah, I know. And so we're going to be getting a lot of guests here. You see, do you notice how everything you do here makes noise? It's like really
irritating. You're going to freak out on me.
No, not you. I mean, you know, it's just the place. It's not you, you know.
Okay, good.
But I can tell you already had it with me. So, okay. So I know you're just eager to tell us what happened. So why don't we start with last night, and then you can trace back to how you ended up
goodness.
There.
well, let's just say the reason I was here early this morning is because I woke up and I've been like, trying not to puke all morning.
Yeah, because, have you been successful?
No, I ended up puking like once or twice. But
really?
I think that also had to do with the fact that I didn't eat dinner last night because I decided to drink my calories instead.
Oh, I see. You do that often? Or?
I do that often, but I usually do it with food.
I see, okay.
Last night was a bit of a different story. I was invited by some friends to a party in Beverly Hills at my friend, what should his name be? What should his alias be?
No need for names. That's fine. We'll get it.
Well, my one girlfriend, I'm just going to call her Allie McBeal. So we're going to call her Allie.
You know it's useless because you're going to spit out
No. I promised her I would not. I cannot give out any kind of identifying information. But so anyway, they're both my two friends that went to Harvard, and they're lawyers.
Right.
So they had a little bit of a pool party at the guy's house. And, you know, we were there. There were only six of us there, which is why I'm trying to, like, figure out. My friend, my one friend got mad at me because, like, he's like, the three of you were off having sex. And the five of us were out here waiting. It was really awkward. I was like, how do you know what we were doing? And he's like, because I walked in and all three of you were just naked in bed together. And I'm just
Wait a minute. You're starting at the end of the story.
You went
to this pool party.
Went to this pool party.
Okay, so what went on there?
So needless to say, we're all scantily clad. And I don't remember exactly what happened.
Why is that needless to say? I mean, how?
It's a pool party, you know? We're not really wearing much clothes.
Okay, but you're wearing your swimsuits.
Well, I was in undies and a bathing suit top.
Undies,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because I can't find my bottoms anywhere. I've got 10 bathing suits and no bottoms.
Okay. So you had big time camel toe.
No, I have really cute undies on. I love them. But keep dreaming.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all of a sudden, I don't remember having more than two drinks, but apparently I must have had like a whole bottle of rum. Because shortly into the evening, I don't even remember how I got in bed, or I don't remember getting my clothes off. I mean, I guess I must have been getting out of my wet bathing suit, because next thing you know, I'm in bed with two Harvard lawyers.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, so these are the guys that you were partying with by the pool and stuff?
Yes, a girl,
right?
And a guy, though.
Okay, so a girl and a guy.
Yes.
Okay, and so you ended up in bed with them?
Yes.
How did that happen?
I have no idea.
Really?
That's why
you blacked out completely?
I blacked out completely, which isn't that unusual. I mean, I do it on a semi-regular basis.
Yeah. Isn't that scary to you, not to remember what you did or what happened?
Well, it's kind of like a mystery. Every morning when I wake up, I'm like, I wonder what did happen. And then I go through my phone, and it's like I try and backtrack, and I get everyone's like number that I called, and I'm like, okay, did I call you last night? And they're like, yes, you called me. Like, and I'm like, all right, it says here I was on the phone with you for 24 minutes. What did I say? Well, you said you had a threesome. And I'm like, oh my God, what is wrong with me?
So you were in bed with a guy and a girl.
A guy and a girl, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, when you first told me, I thought it was two guys when you said two lawyers. So, okay, so this even gets more interesting.
Yes.
Because, because I was just going to say, no, you didn't do that.
So I've got Allie McBeal going down on me, and that's like the first thing I remember.
Really?
Yeah. So that was pretty crazy.
Really?
And then I didn't know what to do. Then I was kind of like, oh my God.
Now, this is a good friend of yours?
Well, this was only the second time I met them.
I see. Okay. All right.
But apparently we're supposed to be having like these drinking parties every Sunday and just get together. And it started off with endless mimosas a couple weeks ago, which is when I met them. And yeah, I've been pretty busy and out of town and things. So last night was the first time since I've met them that we were able to get back together again.
Cool.
But wow, was it a good time.
Yeah. So you wake up and she's going down on you.
Yes.
She's eating you.
Yes.
And so that's all you can remember? Is that what it was?
That's all I remember. Next thing, then I remember making out with her for a while. She's a really good kisser.
Really?
And I'll give her that.
Now, did you go down on her?
I don't remember.
Really?
I have no recollection of this.
Well, did you ask her?
No, well,
Did you guys talk about this afterwards?
Well, no, here's what happened. Yeah. So all of a sudden, she and the guy start having sex, and I thought they were like best friends, and so I was kind of like, huh, this is interesting that the three of us end up in bed together. So they just start going at it, and she just hops up on top, and she's riding him like a cowgirl, going crazy. Mm-hmm. And so while this is happening, I got up, and I just put my clothes on, and I left.
Really?
Yeah. And then I don't remember anything else until I woke up this morning.
Wow.
Yeah. So
why did you get up and leave? You didn't want to bang the guy too and stuff?
Not really. No. And by the way, this is the first that the Franz is going to be hearing about this.
Yes.
So, and I know.
Well, that's it. It's over. Go ahead.
Sorry, baby.
You didn't even fucking take very long. Okay. But no, that's
okay. I know.
But let's say you didn't plan this, okay? It wasn't like premeditated.
I definitely did not plan this. It was not premeditated. It was not my fault because I was completely blacked out. Is that an excuse?
Yeah, I know. But going back to this, did you orgasm from her eating you?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't remember that either.
No.
So you just remember her eating you, but that's it. You don't remember how it felt or anything.
Well, I remember it feeling wonderful.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But you don't know if you came or not.
No.
Okay. That's fine.
But I can't believe I just got up and like put my clothes on and escaped.
Yeah.
I'm like, where was I going? How did I get home? Apparently, I drove.
Wow. Susie.
I know. Well, it was right down the street from my house, so
yeah,
it wasn't that far.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I can't sit here and possibly like just justify, okay, so I drove drunk just because I didn't have a choice.
I know.
I mean, there's no person out there that would say it's good to drive drunk.
And it never is. It never is.
I mean, you're driving a fucking weapon. That's what a car is. But I'm not going to sit here and fucking preach to you. I mean, that's your life, you know?
Thank you.
But
Susie.
So you fucking put your clothes on and you left.
Well, I didn't even put my clothes on. I put my pants on and my bathing suit top because I couldn't find bottoms or my top.
Mm. So you only remember like bits and pieces, right?
Yes.
That's what it is.
But then my one friend that was not involved in the threesome, he and his girlfriend were there for the evening as well. Apparently, I sent him a text this morning. I'm like, oh my God, I had a threesome with Allie McBeal and you know, her friend.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know. And he was just totally like bitter and angry. And I was like, what the fuck are you so mad about? Like, were you jealous you didn't get to join in?
Yeah, probably.
Like, you could have come up. Or
yeah.
He's like, because the five of us were sitting there. Originally, we were supposed to be watching the movie Iron Man in the screening room at this family's house.
Okay.
So, apparently they were just sitting outside waiting for us the whole time. And we're just upstairs having our threesome going to town.
Wow. Yeah, they were probably jealous. Or the guy was.
He said there were five of them then there, so I'm trying to figure out where the other two people came from.
Mm.
But he said we were very rude, and that it was just like totally obnoxious.
Well, five of you, no? Isn't that what he meant?
No, because there were three of us upstairs.
I see, and then another
in the room,
five.
And then there were another five, so apparently two other people showed up, and unbeknownst to me.
Oh, I see. Wow.
And the host is like upstairs, like, you know, fooling around with me and Allie McBeal.
Yeah, wow.
So, yeah, not our finest moment, but I woke up this morning. I've got like hickeys all over me.
How the fuck did you get a hickey on your hip?
I have no idea.
Wow.
But it's a pretty brutal one.
Yeah.
Wow, whoever did that one, little vampire.
Yeah, this is pretty dangerous. I mean, someone could really take advantage of you and you wouldn't even remember.
Well, that's why I hang out only with people in like safe situations, you know, where I feel comfortable. You know, I'm not going to go and get blacked out at a bar by myself where I don't know anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, it has happened before, but but I try not to make that a habit. But yeah, you know, I'm with a whole bunch of my friends and I don't know.
Well, that's a great experience. I mean, you know, what the hell? Too bad you can't remember it, though.
I know.
Been cool, you know?
Well, maybe it'll happen again. Who knows?
Yeah. Do you think that was her first time going down on a girl or did she seem...
I don't think so.
No, huh?
I think she seemed quite proficient.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I love how you have all the questions about the girl, none about the guy.
Well, yeah, who cares about the guy?
Guys, I don't think this was their first time
sleeping
together.
Guys and sex
though.
Are props, okay? Like in porn, guys are just props. You need it. You want the chick next to a dick, so you just put a dick there, you know? But nobody cares about the guys. But anyway, I mean, I guess when you're a girl, it's different.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't care about him.
I care about the guy.
Okay, good. What do you care about him?
Well, if he's any good in bed.
Oh, I see.
Trust me, I've sampled quite a few and...
But you haven't tried, or you don't remember?
No, I didn't.
You.
No, I didn't sleep with him.
Oh, you sure?
Pretty sure.
Okay, good.
Well, in my blacked out state, I told someone on the phone, a very reliable source, my best friend in Boston. So I told him last night, apparently, because I called him at 6 in the morning. I'm like, oh my God, what happened last night? And he's like, this is exactly what you said. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I was like, so did I sleep with the guy? And he's like, nope, you said you did not. That he wanted to, and you were like, no. But apparently last night I was on the phone with my best friend as well. And he was saying, well, what about your boyfriend? What about the Franz? And I was like, fuck the Franz. I hate the Franz right now. The motherfucker hasn't even called me.
Really?
Yes.
Since he left?
Since he, what well, is it, like a I've week? I've talked to him like 3 times since he left.
Right.
But I'm used to talking to him like 5-10 times a day.
Mm.
And all of a sudden he's in New York and I really would like to talk to him even more. And so I've decided I need someone that gives me a lot more attention. I need a lot of attention. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
I'm a very, not that I'm high maintenance, I just, okay. I require care.
Okay, well everybody, Susie is on the
I need attention.
Yes. She's on the prowl.
Row.
So, and single as ever, so do give a call. Do give a call. 818, I'm sorry, 323.
203. 0815.
There you go.
Oh my
That's
goodness.
Funny, man. Wow.
Yeah, it just sucks that I have to break up with my boyfriend on the freaking radio because he never calls me.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Bring the mic a little closer
to
you. Yeah.
Sorry.
You're like sitting far from it. I know you're like not all together here and stuff, but that's
I
okay.
apologize.
We want to be able to hear you.
Here we go. Is that better?
That's a lot better.
Good, good.
So, okay, so that was yesterday? That was last night?
That was last night.
Last night, okay. And you came stumbling into your home, your place when?
Well, I came in last night probably about... I don't know, 9:30? So early.
Oh.
I was in bed by 10 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Passed out, which is why I got here early this morning.
So you did get some sleep.
We started drinking at like 3 o'clock.
In the afternoon?
Yeah.
Okay, till 9.
Till 9.
Wow.
Apparently heavy drinking.
You sure can hold your liquor, but I don't know, blacking out, that's a little too much. You know?
I know,
that
I know.
That would scare the hell out of me. Like, what
you know,
happened?
You know what people say? They say that if you black out once in your life, you're an alcoholic.
Really?
But I don't think that's absolutely true at all. There are so many people in this day and age that, you know, college kids or people that are just, they have really high stress jobs. And it's like, I don't have to drink every night. I just like it. But,
yeah.
You know, we just binge drink because it's fun. It's really fun to get wasted and be silly and have no idea what you're doing. Yeah.
But at a certain point, you stop, you know. But
Well, at a certain point, you stop or you puke.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. And then, let me see. What did I do Saturday night? You know what? Saturday night, I was a good girl. It's a helicopter.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, go
ahead. There are helicopters all over Los Angeles. It's kind of freaky.
Really?
Yeah. You haven't noticed all of them?
Well, I've noticed some, but, you know, when we were downtown, you'd always see helicopters.
Oh, they're everywhere. It really freaks me out, especially in Venice, when they're, like, flying overhead all night long. It's like, what are they looking for? Like, drugs and people shooting each other?
Yeah, that's pretty much what they're looking for, yeah.
Did you even hear at the Abbot Kinney Festival, there were 2 people that were shot?
Oh, really?
On Abbot Kinney, which is right where my old apartment is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And 2 different people shot on different sides of the street. So they had helicopters going around the street for that, too.
Wow. And Venice is supposed to be pretty safe.
Venice is very safe these days.
Yeah. Wow.
I know. Wow. Sorry, jumping That's all over awesome. The place.
Yeah, we are all over the place. But let me ask you this. Do you think you're an alcoholic?
No.
You don't?
No.
Okay. Do you drink every day?
Mostly.
Every day?
Yes.
Okay, good.
But I don't have to. I choose to.
Okay.
Like, I don't go into withdrawal if I don't.
Okay. So can you choose to go a week without it?
Yes.
Okay, so let's try that for a week now. I mean, you can have... Why don't you binge for a couple of days to get it out of your system?
I think it's out of my system starting today.
Yeah?
Oh.
Okay.
Susie, no feel good.
Let me tell you, when someone does something like this, I mean, this is an excess, what you do.
Yes.
I think you'd have to admit, you know.
Yes.
Again, I want you to know I'm not being judgmental. I'm just looking at it from the outside.
I didn't drink Saturday night.
Wow.
But that's
and
only
how does
because
that
I,
happen?
That's only because I had a really crazy night Friday night. I had date night with my roommate.
A date night with your roommate?
My roommate, yeah, Lisa.
So you both went out... I see. You both went out together.
We both went out together.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, even though I've been living there technically for, you know, a month at this point, she's like, we don't even know each other. Like, who are you living in my house? Because I'm constantly out of the house, like, before she's awake. And then I come in, like, at 3 o'clock in the morning and she's asleep. And then I'm gone again the next day. And I'll see her for, like, 5 seconds to be like, can you feed the cats? And that's, like, the only thing, like, she knows about me is that I have the cats and the lizards.
Yeah. So that was a good idea.
Yeah, that was her idea. She's like, we need to sit down and have Susie Lisa date night. And I'm like, okay. And so, you know, I was a little bit scared at first because, you know, she's kind of my crazy, she's a psychic.
Oh, really?
Yes. So she says.
Yeah.
We'll find out, though.
Yeah. She'll have to come in here.
She wants to come in.
Really?
Yeah, she's really excited to come in.
Well, I'd have to have a psychic here.
And she's totally hot, so you'll have some eye candy to look at.
Oh, really?
She's gorgeous.
Wow.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Well, you can invite her tomorrow. I'll move everybody around.
You want me to bring her tomorrow?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. I'll bring her tomorrow. But yeah, so we had Susie Lisa date night. We cooked dinner together, and then we started drinking wine, of course. And so then we decided we were going to go up to the Malibu Inn, which is the old bar that I used to work at. Mm-hmm. And so I drove on the way there, and then, oh my goodness, apparently I went totally crazy on Friday night. It was like showing everyone at the bar my boobs. I basically just had my shirt like over my head. I don't think I had it down at all.
Really?
And wow. So she was getting totally hit on by this one guy. He's the hairdresser for the cast of 24. And so his wife was like shooting her death looks. She was just like, "You little hussy. Oh my God, stop trying to steal my husband." And meanwhile, really? Her husband was the one that was all over her.
Yeah.
So I was like naked at my old bar with my shirt over my head, just being completely out of control.
Wow.
Which is why I chose not to drink on Saturday.
So were you okay with it that you did?
That I what?
That you danced naked?
Yeah.
You were okay with it?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I'm crazy. I've decided someone needs to contain me. I need to be contained.
Yeah. I think you're hungry for attention. I think that's what it is.
Oh.
And you just said that you need attention. Or what did you say? You said you need some...
From my boyfriend, I need attention.
Yes. Okay. So I'm not... Yeah. So I remembered correctly.
Yes.
So you're an attention whore, actually.
You know what? I have this one ex-boyfriend that used to call me. He was like, "Oh, great. Here we go. She's going into look at me Susie mode." I'm like, shut up. But it's so... I don't know. It's so appropriate because like a switch will turn on. It's like, flick. Look at me, Susie. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
So do you think you do those outrageous things because of that? Because you do some unusual things.
I have no idea. I have no idea where it all stems from.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I was always, you know, I'm the youngest child out of three girls. Mm-hmm. And I kind of always had to have attention because, like, everyone else was really busy with their own lives.
I see, yeah.
And so it was like I had to try and always, like, one-up myself to, like, see what I can do to, like, get a rise out of anyone in my life, in particular, like, my parents. Now nothing even fazes them.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. If I tell them I was having a threesome last night and running around my old bar with my shirt off, they would be like, okay.
Yeah, no big deal.
What
They're
else is
used
new?
To it, yeah.
They're totally used to it. Nothing can shock them anymore, which kind of sucks. It sucks losing your shock value.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, you run out of things to shock with.
Well, not really. I keep finding things to shock you with.
I guess. Well, I haven't known you as long as your parents have.
Good point, good point.
But
you've gotten a full background of stories, so.
Yes, absolutely. Wow.
And I don't know, I guess it also stems, if I'm going to delve deep into my psyche, from like just being like a childhood like commercial kid. You know, I always had to, like, I don't know, I was always kind of like on camera or on, you know, just in front of the camera.
So
always
you got a lot
of
attention, yeah.
Right?
I mean, obviously you get a lot of attention when you're a model or an actress because everything's focused around you.
But it wasn't necessarily positive attention, I suppose.
Really?
I don't know. When I told you when I did the Push Pop commercial, like, what's a Push Pop got that a lollipop just can't top? And there's a like side profile of me deep throating the Push Pop.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Like, boys were awful chasing me down the hall, being like, "I got a Push Pop for you to suck on, baby. Oh, yeah." You know, they were just totally awful about this kind of thing. But so, yeah, the attention wasn't always positive, but I did always have to be on and always entertaining people.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I have a feeling one day you're going to figure it out, you know, and you're going to mellow out. Not that I want you to. I mean, you're an amazing person like this, you know, but no, eventually I think you
when
you
I'm
realize,
old and married and I have kids.
Yeah, because you have to ask yourself, why am I doing all these crazy things? You
know? I don't know, but Susie is going into retirement this week. Seriously, I'm going to be the most boring person in the world tomorrow.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you won't be. Well, I mean, your eyes are like half closed.
Oh my God, they are. I look Chinese.
Oh, that's funny.
My bangs are also getting longer, so they're covering my eyes a little bit, too.
Yeah, that's true. Now you look like a poodle or something.
Well, most days I wear my sunglasses in the studio, so you can't even see my eyes.
Yeah.
Because I usually look like this.
Oh, they do.
Oh, God.
That's why you have sunglasses on. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. It's amazing.
I know.
Well, it's going to... You think it's going to be another hot day today?
I don't know.
No? Because it's been, like, really crazy lately, you know, and I think it's going to be...
Was it hot yesterday? Again.
You know that it actually rained Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did it rain where you were?
Actually, you know what? I was babysitting Saturday, and so I was... I have to tell you this. It's really just a cute little story. But the new little boy that I take care of on... I'm supposed to take care of him on Fridays, but it got switched to Saturday this week. Mm-hmm. So he can't say S's. So he calls me Doozy for starters. He's like, Doozy, which is so appropriate because I just am a doozy. Yeah. So aside from that, the cutest thing he did, I was like, Ethan, I'm like, let's go on a worm hunt. And he's like, okay, Doozy. And so because I had my lizards with us and we were going to look for food for the lizards. Uh-huh. And so I'm like, we need to find sticks to dig with. He's like, Doozy, I found my dick over here because he can't say the S.
Yeah.
So he's like, Doozy, I got my dick. And he's like digging around and I'm trying not to laugh because he's just, you know, he's being very serious as we're going on our worm hunt with his dick and he's digging around. He's like, Doozy, your dick is better than my dick. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I just want to eat you up. But isn't that so cute?
Yeah, that is cute.
Little kids are just so fucking adorable.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we were doing the worm hunt because it was raining.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Cool. So it rained.
Not very much, though.
Yeah. Well, I was like on the other side of the valley and it was pouring like for a few minutes.
Really?
Which is cool. You know, I mean, I really love rain, but we don't get enough. Yeah.
That is one of the things I miss.
Yeah. Did you realize we just, 9:15 just came and went and nobody called?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what the fuck's going on, Susie, but it was supposed to be at 9:15. This author was supposed to call in.
Well, maybe his other interview ran late.
Yeah, but 15 minutes? Come on.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to fire you from booking, I'm telling you.
I know. I mean, what the fuck is this? You know, it's like I have like 3 weeks out all booked. And then the day comes and this cancels and that cancels and this one goes to the old address, you know? And some people went to the old address.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I know.
Like guests from the weekend?
Well, not I think there was one guest, but also people that I was supposed to meet with.
Oh,
and I guess
no.
I forgot to tell them. Or, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sam.
Yeah, but some guests actually reminded me. They're like, I'll see you tomorrow. And then... like downtown or something. I go, wait a minute. No, we're not there anymore.
This really, I could have given you, like, I should have given you the biggest hug and a kiss when I walked in the door this morning because it was so easy to get here.
Yeah.
So easy.
I know.
Oh my gosh. I just, for the first time in my life, I realized that Beverly Glen, you know, it goes right down in here.
Yeah, into the valley. Yeah,
and it takes me right to my other job, too. It's perfect.
Oh, really?
That road's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
But riding my bicycle up, it won't be fun. You're right. Yeah.
No, it's too much.
No, I think I'll do it.
Really?
Just not when I'm hungover.
Yeah. Which is never.
No, which is going to start being tomorrow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you be game? Could you go a few days? Okay, we won't make you go a week, but a few days. Because I'm convinced you can't.
I will go 1 week from today without drinking.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
It's on.
All right. And we have... Okay.
Handshake.
And we have to trust that you're going to keep your... Part of
oh, you'll know. I'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Okay.
Because if you're like not drinking for a few days, I will say you're not an alcoholic.
Okay.
All right?
It's fair. That's on.
Yeah.
Oh, what the fuck am I getting myself into? Oh, great.
Sometimes it's just easier to admit it. You know,
I'm
an addict and that's it.
Can I smoke pot?
Oh, yeah. You're going to replace it with something else. That, you see, that's a classic addict.
I never said I wasn't an addict.
Oh, okay.
I have a very addictive personality.
So an alcoholic is an addict of alcohol.
Well, no. Oh. Well, I don't have to. It doesn't have to be alcohol. I'm just addicted to whatever happens
kind of drug.
Not even drugs. Okay. For instance, my friend Cameron made a bet with me last March that I couldn't go a month without drinking. And so I made it 11 days without drinking.
Yeah.
But I wasn't able to sleep at night. I was walking around like a zombie, like pacing my apartment. And I had quit smoking. And so what did I do? I started smoking again.
Yeah.
And the only reason I went 11 days was because my birthday was March 14th. And I was going to be in Colorado. And I was going to be partying. And then it was St. Patrick's Day. And I'm Irish.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all these little things.
Yeah. So you had excuses to drink and all that stuff.
Yes. But 11 days I went.
Wow. That's pretty good.
I know.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But the thing is, I think, I don't know how you define an addiction exactly, but I think it's something that, obviously something that controls you, you know what I mean? But you focus on it a lot. I think, you're supposedly like a big part of the day, or you plan your life around it and that kind of thing, you know. And then, of course, you know, you can't sleep because you're so accustomed to it, you know. But I got to tell you that the amount that
you drink... I can't sleep because I'm so freaking hyper all the time.
Yeah. Like, I know.
I drink alcohol as a depressant.
So it's like self-medication.
You know, if I don't drink, like, I'm going to have to be taking sleeping pills all week.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I'm going to have to exercise myself into a tizzy.
But, you know, I mean, if you go a couple weeks without it, then you'll get used to it and you'll be able to go back to sleep. You know,
But it's not fun. Life would be so boring without alcohol.
I suppose it would. Yeah, I can't argue with that.
No, I did one bike ride.
And by the way, that's another thing that an addict would say. But that's okay. Go ahead.
Okay, fine. Hi, I am an alcoholic.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Susie, and I'm an addict.
And I am an addict. I love. Yeah. I'm addicted to everything. Excitement and craziness and fun.
I know. I'm pretty addicted myself. I mean, the cigarettes, I just can't kick it for the life of me, you know?
Really is a nasty habit, though.
Yeah.
Really is.
I know it is. You know?
Like, your hand smells gross. Your breath smells gross.
The other day, my son went talk to my wife, and then he comes out and he says, she's not going to give you sex anymore until you stop smoking.
She says that to your son?
He says, no, he said that to her.
Oh,
he said that to her. He says, you shouldn't give dad sex until he quits smoking.
And what did she say?
I guess she said okay or something.
Well, has she been true to her word?
So he comes up. No, that was only yesterday, you know.
Oh.
But no, I think it was more in jest and stuff. But he says, well, now will you quit? And I said, no.
Sam. Seriously.
It's never going to happen. I mean, the sex is never going to be suspended, I'm sure.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, if it really were, would you?
No, I'd find another woman and keep smoking.
I remember when I was little, my dad always hid smoking from my mother. But, like, obviously you could smell it on the person.
Yeah, I mean, how can you hide smoking?
And he tried to hide it from, like, my sister and me, too. And we had, like, this garage in our farmhouse. And every time we would go to get in the car to go somewhere, he would always suspiciously walk over to the garage and put his hand up on the top shelf and, like, reach in and put something in his pocket. So I remember one night, I was probably, like, 8 years old or something. I waited until, like, he went into the house, and then I snuck out of the house, and I snuck into the garage, and I found his cigarettes, and I took them, and I crushed them. I flattened them all,
wow.
And I broke off the filter, and I wrote on the floor mat of his car, I know,
really?
In the crushed cigarettes.
Wow.
It was, like, my little cryptic way of being, yeah. Like,
how old were you then?
Like, 8.
Really?
Yeah.
What a weasel.
I know.
What a brat.
He still hid it for, like, the next 10 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know?
Well, she pretended.
Yeah.
I don't know, just for like the sake, just for the sake of the family and the sake of appearances and things.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you appear as a non-smoker, then that's good enough, you know? I mean, if you smoke in hiding, then who cares, you know? But,
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's something he's been struggling with forever. And then his father died of lung cancer.
Really?
Or my grandfather did. You know, yeah. it's stupid.
I know. But, you know, I mean, the thing is, okay, so it's not fun to die from lung cancer or any cancer, but you have to think about it.
Duh.
We all have to go sometime, and it's going to be because of something, you know? So it can be cancer, it can be this, it can be that. So it's like, it doesn't matter. Okay, so you'll avoid lung cancer, so you'll get something else. You'll get Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or something, you know?
Or maybe
you've got to get something, because that's how we die for the most part.
So you want to die... Dying from lung cancer is the most miserable kind of death, and the most painful,
imagine.
And the most slow and painful death. So that's the biggest fucking cop-out excuse I have ever heard. It is a slow and miserable and painful death, and your loved ones have to sit around and watch you be tortured, watch you, like, carry around an oxygen machine, watch you have the hole in your thing with the voice modulator. Like, I mean, that's a shitty, shitty way to go.
Yeah.
So, as I say this...
Is there a good way to go?
Yes, being eaten by a leopard or something in Africa.
Okay. So those are accidents.
Something fun and crazy.
Okay, but if we don't die by accident,
accident, you're just not going to die like a quick death from lung cancer. So that's a really, really ignorant thing to say. So I don't ever want to hear you say that again.
Okay.
I'm serious. I've got 2 doctors in my family, and my other grandpa died of cancer. I know these things. These things I know. And my grandpa, who is alive, is head of the American Lung Association.
Really?
Yep. So he goes to schools and travels around, you know, in his retirement, advocating, you know, trying to get kids not to smoke. And he brings his friend that's got the voice modulator thingamajig on his neck.
Yeah, that would be scary.
And that is how he gets to, like, he starts off the show with the guy walking out onto the stage, and the kids are all, like, you know, throwing things at each other and, like, you know, playing footsie. And all of a sudden, the guy gets up to the microphone and it's like, hello, my name is, you know, whatever his name is. And the kids just instantly just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa. And he's like, you know, I've been a smoker for like 40 years. Like this is what, and then he goes into the story of like everything that happened to him.
Wow.
And then my grandpa puts in these fake teeth that are, that just show like what smoking does to your teeth, like over time. And, I don't know. Have you been to the Body World exhibit?
Yes. In fact, we were talking about this, about the lungs, the smoker's lungs.
And what did you think about that? And,
but you know what I heard is that they say that on the average, they find about 13 packs of cigarettes in the trash of people that are leaving and getting rid of their cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Wow, that is crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's enough to scare
I was a smoker at the time when I went to see the Body World exhibit. I was smoking like a pack a day at the time. And I think I might have been one of those people, actually, that threw out my cigarettes after that.
Really?
And I the whole day, like, it was just a struggle because my body was like, ah, cigarette, nicotine. And then the rest of me was just kind of like, no, no. And just thinking back to the lungs and,
I know.
Oof.
And my lungs are starting to hurt. Yesterday, they were hurting. My chest was hurting.
It's not going
to
get any better.
No. It only gets worse.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you become like a sex addict or something? Something positive.
I'd love that. I'd love that. I think I am already. I'm just a non-practicing sex addict.
Well, like maybe you should talk to your wife and be like, listen, you need to withhold sex. That's a good idea. Oh, I can't believe... Oh, now I'm bummed about the Franz.
How did you get back to the Franz now?
Well, I was just thinking about smoking, and he made me quit smoking because he hated it so much.
Yeah. So now you miss him?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you did... You didn't, look, as far as
I'm concerned... I didn't miss him last night.
You didn't, but you didn't, it wasn't really, I mean, look, if you didn't bang the guy and she just ate you, then I don't think it's like a big deal. It's not like you planned it, you know?
And he has always been, he has been trying to get me to fool around with other girls, but I think he wants to have been part of it.
Yeah, obviously, I'm sure. Okay, we've got a phone call here. Maybe they thought they're supposed to call at 9:30. Let's see. Good morning, you're on Sam and Susie. Who's on the air?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Sam, is this Sam?
Yes, it is.
Sam, this is David Ignatius calling.
Yes, David.
I thought that I was going to be on your show this time, and so I've been waiting for a call.
Oh, I see. Okay, because I thought you guys were calling at 9:15, so that's why we were waiting.
We were waiting for your phone call.
Yeah, I mean, it's 12:15 your time, I suppose. You're back east,
it's 12,
right?
It's 12:30, yes.
Yeah.
It's actually 20:01.
Yeah,
so,
wonderful.
Shall I call you? You want to call me on the landline, or how do you want to do this?
This is fine. I mean, if you just want to stay on the line, that's fine.
You're on the air right now.
Yes.
I'll bet we can get a better connection if I call you on the landline. Let me call you right back.
Yes, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Good.
Okay. So this is David Ignatius, by the way, the author of Body of Lies, which is the book that the movie Body of Lies is based on. And that movie is coming out Friday with Russell Crowe and Leonardo DiCaprio. I started actually reading the book, and it's pretty interesting stuff.
Really?
Yeah. So here he goes. Good morning, Mr. Ignatius.
Good morning, Sam.
Yes, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate this. And I just introduced to the listening audience who you are and the book that you're promoting right now. And so we'll just repeat that real quick. It is called Body of Lies. And
yes, it is.
When did you write this book?
Well, the book was published a year ago, April. It's out in a new paperback coinciding with the release of the film.
Right.
By the same title, Body of Lies, which will be in theaters this Friday.
Right.
So it kind of has a new life.
Yes, absolutely. Now, so that's what I was going to ask you, and I guess we can go right into this, but when you write a book and then it becomes a movie, is that a step that you take? Do you shop it around for a movie, or do they approach you about this?
In this case, I had a previous relationship with the director, Ridley Scott, who's a wonderful director.
An amazing director. Mm. He did Gladiator. Yes.
And, you know, so many great films.
Yes, Black Hawk
Down. And he and I had worked on a project earlier, so we knew each other. And as I was finishing the first draft of this book, he asked to see it. And his assistant took her with him to the Sundance Film Festival and called me from there and said, "You jerk. I haven't seen a single movie. I'm just sitting in my room reading your book. I love it." So
wow.
They bought it on the strength of that, and so that was about 2 years ago. And so the project has been coming into focus. But it, you know, this is, I've said, this is like lightning striking for a writer. You dream of it.
I would suppose, yeah.
Love it to happen, but it just never happens, and here it did.
Yeah, I mean, it brings it into life, the book, you know, and it's so. I mean, congratulations on that. That is amazing. And now, now, if you can, in a sentence or two, just describe what the book is about for those who haven't had a chance to look at it yet. And we can discuss.
This is a spy novel. Most of my six novels have been spy novels. I try to make them as realistic as I can. This is about a CIA officer overseas who's trying to penetrate, as I say, trying to get inside of Al-Qaeda and recruit an agent who can get, you know, right in the inside the tent. And he tries and tries and fails. And then it occurs to him that he could have the same effect if he made Al-Qaeda think that he had done the impossible, that he had an agent inside, when in fact he didn't play a trick. So he tries to play that trick, and the novel is really the story of how that deception operation of his backfires, and how the Jordanian intelligence service, which is watching him, decides to move as it sees him faltering. And I shouldn't say any more. I'll give the story away. That's the story we're telling here.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for you. You know, everyone always says the book's better than the movie. And so, obviously, you've seen the movie. Do you think that's the case with this?
Well, he's not going to say he didn't like the movie.
That's the question. How can I answer that?
Yeah, exactly.
which of your children do you like better?
Yeah. Oh.
Sophie's choice.
The movie's really entertaining. It's one of those movies that just starts and goes bam, bam, bam until it's over. And in that sense, you know, it provides a kind of fun that no book can. It's visual, has a visual impact. I have to say, Leonardo DiCaprio and Russell Crowe were starring in the two lead roles in the book. Give shape and texture to those characters that, you know, I learned something from their performances about the characters, and I wrote them. So,
wow.
You know, I think people, I hope people will want to go back and read the book if they see the movie, or will see the movie, read the book and then want to go see the movie, that
right.
They'll work both ways. They're different in some ways. To make a movie, you have to cut so much that's in a book. You just can't make it all fit.
Right.
So
That's why I think usually what I like to do is read the book first.
And then see the movie.
Yeah, because that's what came first.
Oh,
and then you can imagine.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because then you can imagine it yourself. If you're reading it afterwards, it becomes like a tie-in, and then you're pretty much just sort of expanding on what you've seen already,
mm-hmm.
you know?
So, yes, I think that's true. The, you know, they're different art forms. That's one thing I've learned in this process. Is, you know, something that takes begins in your imagination, the story, the characters. You know, you finish it with it as an author, and then it's reimagined by the director and by the actors, and it becomes something new and different. So I think it's always the case that books and movies are a little bit different.
So you have some kind of background in intelligence, or, you know, spy training.
I've been not as a spy, but as a reporter, I've been writing about the CIA for 30 years. I've been going back and forth to the Middle East since 1980 is when I started. So that's,
wow.
So it's a part of the world I know well.
You're not afraid going over there?
No, you know, it's. I go off and do Iraq. I was in Iraq in Afghanistan 2 weeks ago. For me as a journalist, this is the most interesting story in the world. It's so powerful, painful, upsetting. And you know, it's something I really want to cover, and you know, you just think that the risks in this case are worth it because it's such a great story.
Right, and so you're a reporter by profession.
Yes, I was a reporter for 10 years for the Wall Street Journal, and then covered the Middle East for them, and then I went to work for the Washington Post as an editor, and now as a columnist. I've been a columnist for the Post for, almost 10 years.
That's amazing. That's
really
exciting.
Yeah, it's really cool. So you've been writing about the CIA for a long time.
Yep.
It's fascinating. I mean, I would imagine, how did this, was this sparked like by a James Bond movie or something? I mean, how did you...
I think the truth is it survived seeing James Bond movies. James Bond movies are fun, but they don't have much to do with the intelligence.
With the reality, yes.
I grew up in Washington, you know, and I used to think in my neighborhood if I threw a rock in any direction, it would probably land on the CIA officer's house. And, you know, so it was all around, and it fascinated me. So when I came to town as a reporter, after getting out of college, it was a natural subject for me to write about. And, you know, I have to say, I think it's really important for our country to have a good intelligence service. And sometimes, you know, the CIA doesn't sit very well with the American public.
Yeah.
As a democracy, we're just not very comfortable with what intelligence services do. We love the military. Nobody criticizes the military. And we sort of all combine left and right in hating the CIA. And that's too bad because, you know, we end up getting the intelligence service we deserve. It's, you know, it's often demoralized. It's not as good as it should be. That bothers me some.
Yeah.
So I try in my books to write it as realistically as I can about their successes and failures, and just give people a clearer idea of what they actually do. And I hope that's valuable.
Yeah, that's amazing, you know. And but I have to agree with you about intelligence service being crucial to the survival. I'm originally from Israel, and I remember that. I wasn't alive when the country became independent, but I remember that the leaders realized that the most important thing for our survival is intelligence, you know, and so they created the Mossad and the Shin Bet and so forth, and they're like almost unrivaled in the world because by necessity. You know, so that's why I'm sort of like surprised that you're saying that the CIA is not that popular in the United States. Is that what you were saying, actually?
Well, I wish the CIA had the kind of support from the American public that the Mossad has traditionally had in Israel. I mean, the Mossad is a great service. It's an elite. It's an honor to be a member of it. People who have served in the Mossad are you know, treated as kind of national heroes.
Right.
One former Mossad chief who's a good friend of mine is a, you know, person I trust as much as anybody I talk to in the world. And I just don't, if you look at the reception of George Tenet's memoirs, the way he was attacked, you know, just that's a small example of how we beat our spies up. I'm writing in this novel about the Jordanian intelligence service, but, you know, they work very closely with the Israelis. They're very valued partners.
Really? Wow, that's interesting.
I mean, lots of, they don't talk about it, but they have lots of
Wow.
And that's a long-standing relationship. But, you know, it's the truth is countries have the intelligence services they deserve. If they treat them well, they have high-quality operations, and if they don't, they don't.
Now, so why do you think that is in this country? Why don't we give the CIA the respect it deserves?
You know, somehow both, I mean, for years the left has seen the CIA as a kind of enemy. You know, the CIA is the arm of American imperialism. The CIA is the arm of interventionist foreign policy. But in recent years, even more punishing attacks have come from the right. The right has seen the CIA as an obstacle to what President Bush tried to do, as naysayers, as critics, as skeptics. So basically, they have no friends. I've written often that, you know, the CIA actually goes around with a kick me sign attached to its backside,
wow,
and it gets kicked. Just look at how the congressional committees treat them. And some of that's deserved. They do make mistakes. They certainly made mistakes on WMD in Iraq. But, you know, I have to say, among the few people who understood how dangerous this would end up being for the United States, all the problems that would emerge in Iraq were the CIA analysts who got it right. I mean, as their memos become declassified, we're seeing that they gave very astute warnings about what lay ahead.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, you know, and I think that we really have to, you know, to pay attention to them, and, you know, that's why I don't understand this, but maybe they need to do something, better PR for themselves. Maybe that's one thing that they haven't done very well.
Oh, they should do better PR. They're not, I mean, that's not their business. They're not very good at it. Historically, the Mossad has been very successful in cultivating an image of action, toughness, you know, there are so many books that celebrate their exploits, and that's no accident. They know that public support is really important for them in doing their job, and I think probably the CIA will have to become more publicity savvy.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that, but it's something that I'm sure they think about.
Yeah, well, I'm really glad
they have a boss that does this, that has liaison with movie companies and TV companies, but so far, I don't see much evidence of having a lot of success.
Yeah. Well, this is great you're bringing this out in the open, you know, because I know a lot of people really don't think a lot about the CIA. And when they do, like you said, either there's not enough respect or we don't know enough about what they do. And we picture, like I said,
I think they kind of like it that way.
Yeah. I know. That's true, though, huh?
No, yeah. People have a chance in this novel, Body of Lies, and in the movie that will that will be premiering on Friday in, around the country to get us a chance to see something I think is a little closer to reality.
Yeah.
They'll see a lot of mistakes, but they'll also see some well-motivated people.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, this book, I just started reading it. I read the first chapter where they're setting up the plan. And Susie,
yes.
It's just amazing how clever this thing is going to be. So I can't really wait to get really into the meaty part of the book. And I'm definitely going to catch the movie. And I've got to say, I mean, you must be pretty proud having your name up there on the posters and associated with such great actors
and a great director as well.
This has just been a thrill. I took my whole family, my three daughters and my wife, up to New York last night for the premiere, and you know, got to walk down the red carpet with my daughters. And
oh, they must have loved that.
Are you kidding? This is kind of a dream come true.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have arrived, David. Yeah.
How old are your daughters?
My daughters are 23, 20, and 17, but they're not too old to get a kick out of this, I'll tell you.
No, absolutely not. I mean, they've got to be very proud of their father. I know you have to go. I know you have more interviews. I really want to thank you, David, for calling in. Mr. David Ignatius, who wrote Body of Lies, and you wrote a couple of other books, right? There was like...
my sixth novel, most of them are about intelligence. You can find them on Amazon.com. They're still mostly available. And thank you so much, Sam and Susie, for talking with me.
Absolutely. And all the best to you. And I know you're going
to
be very rich after this movie, so congratulations.
I don't know about rich, but I will have some good memories.
All the best to you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay, David Ignatius, the author of Body of Lies.
Wow, that was great.
Yeah. Which is the film coming out Friday, directed by Ridley Scott. He directed Black Hawk Down. Do you remember that movie?
They actually showed us that in basic training in the
Army.
Really? Yep.
That's one of my all-time favorite movies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it shows you the human side of war. It's just, you know, it shows you how America is taking on the role of the cop of the world and what price we have to pay for that,
yep.
You know? But you also realize that if we don't do it, nobody is going to do it, you know?
Yeah.
There's got to be a cop somewhere, you know? And so, you know, I mean, except when it gets out of control like Vietnam and Iraq and stuff. But I think if we approached war more with concrete plans and with a president who's preferably not George Bush, then I think we'd be great, you know?
Yeah. I agree with you on that one.
Well, let's take a little break, and we'll be back right after this.
This is how you turn it on. This is the internet that John McCain doesn't know how to use. And this application automatically contacts all your friends in battleground states to harass them into voting for me.
Dude, stop calling! I'm in the middle of playing Cro-Mag Rally!
It's called Obama for America, and it's only on your iPhone.
Investigation, it paid off. My devotion, not enough. Leaving everything behind. Seeing what you got in mind. And now you're somewhat beautiful to me. You know I'm not in. Build on lies. Another reason for my pain. That's why I send you on your way. You are not so
We have an unexpected. But by the way, we just. Sorry about that. I'm not focused this morning. We have a guest in the studio, unexpected, of course, but our own Mr. TJ McCormick.
I had a feeling he would come in this morning.
I'm sorry. You see, TJ, I'm not focused at all.
Okay.
You can use the other one anyway, because that one sounds like shit.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll there we go with the noise again.
Wah! Ah! Crash, bang, yeah. Smash.
Okay. Remind me today. To replace this friggin' thing.
You can't really... Okay, now the
Okay, now
mic.
You need the headphones.
There we go. You can't really say that it was unexpected. You knew I'd be here early today.
I knew you were coming today.
I was so excited to get into these new digs.
Yeah.
I was just so excited to make the quick drive because it was a quick drive.
Is today your first day in the new studio?
I stopped in on Friday. I stopped in, I think, Friday, just to sort of walk around. And you look gorgeous today, by the way. Your eye makeup is slightly different.
Actually, Sam said completely the opposite. He's like, you look like you're Chinese. It's like your eyes are fucking half closed.
Well,
so hungover.
On your... Woodstock.
Yeah. It's a Woodstock thing, T-shirt.
It's actually a cool shirt. I got it at Fred Siegel. Believe it or not, this crappy T-shirt was like $150.
Wow, but, Fred Siegel.
I know, but it's a whole line of clothing called Gypsy.
Wow.
It goes with my tattoo.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Now, also show TJ the hickey you got on your hip. A hickey on her hip, and you can imagine.
This is all from last night.
This is from last night.
Now, you met, they're both lawyers.
Both lawyers.
Are they a couple?
No.
So they didn't know each other.
Well, they knew each other. They were friends.
And where'd you meet them?
I met them a couple weeks ago at an Endless Mimosa
party.
Well,
we already covered this. We're boring our listeners.
All right.
I don't think they mind hearing about the threesome again.
To what degree are they professional acquaintances? Do they know each other from work or?
They went to Harvard together, and so they both lived in Boston, and now they both live in California, and so they're just friends.
They had never hooked up before like this.
Well, after watching them have sex last night, they looked like they had had sex together before.
Was it a threesome?
Because he was like at one point.
She woke up being eaten by a girl.
Yeah, no, but so at one point he was like, you got to watch this. You got to watch this, Susie. And so I'm like, okay, what? And he's like, you know, I call her Allie McBeal for the sake of her alias.
Yeah, okay.
So all of a sudden he's like, hop on top, Allie. So she hops right on top and she just starts riding him. She's got great little boobs and they're just like bouncing around in the air. And she was just going to town. And I was like, okay, obviously based upon this, it sounds like he's slept with her before.
Yeah.
Do you think she would like to come into the studio and talk about
it? She wants to come into the studio.
Really?
Actually, her law firm was next to our old studio.
Really?
Yep. Oh. So she's like, I don't mind driving. I'm going to come be on your show.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe she can
do some cowgirl on the chairs.
Law firm, was it in the same building?
Not the same building.
In the area.
And now, again, to what degree was it a threesome? How much did he participate within each of you?
Within each of you. I did not have sex with that man.
Okay, but you kind of, did you kind of like touch him a little bit?
Yeah, like Bill Clinton.
Yes.
You fidgeted him, you fiddled him a little bit while he was.
And by the way, TJ, I just have to tell you that this is the first that Franz is going to be hearing about this because he never fucking calls me.
Well, you know what? I think we should just basically look at this as the beginning of the end of the Franz era.
Well, we already knew, yeah. But
honestly.
But TJ, we don't want to rehash some stuff.
I had a onesome last night. I had a onesome.
A onesome.
That's cool.
A lonesome. I had a lonesome. I was amazing.
Yeah.
And it was thorough participation. Yeah. I completely was involved in me while I was involved with me. I was involved with me.
I was amazing.
Yeah. I was so good.
I think TJ's fallen in love with his hand.
The thing is, the thing is, you got to know how to tease yourself. You got to know how to set the mood. You got to know how to do all the things. Got to be coy. You got to be rough. Got to be aggressive with yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree. You know what? No,
rough sex with yourself.
I completely agree. Yeah. But you know what? I rarely do that with myself. Usually it's just like, okay, get the vibrator, just fucking go to town, close my eyes, get some good visuals going on, and then just like, you know, hurry up and finish.
How often? Yeah.
But sometimes, I will say, sometimes on these rare occasions, I will just get out the whole toolbox.
Right.
You know, and you'll just have like your glass dildo and you'll have this vibrator and it's a little finger.
A little finger.
Yeah. Sometimes I wish I had a third hand because it's like sometimes a little pinky in the butt feels good.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're just like, whoa.
Hey, I'm a phone call away. I'm a married guy. There's no strings. I come over. A little pinky in the ass, and I'm out of there.
It is incredibly
TJ,
horny.
And I'm good. I know what I'm doing. I'm 41. I look 35. You know what I mean? It's not awful. I'm clean. I know what I'm doing. I'm kind of, you know. And I just come over. You're halfway there. A little pinky in, and then
little
you,
pinky
and
in the
then,
ass.
Then you sleep. I pull the covers up, and I go, good night, little one. I kiss you on the forehead, and I tiptoe out the door.
Yeah.
Thanks, TJ.
You is that too much to ask for in this day and age? I'm serious,
just
man.
Give a call. Just give a call. We'll be there.
Exactly. I love this new
don't
family I've got going on here.
What was I going to say? You were going to say something. I'm sorry.
I was actually going to say that, I was telling Susie that you're probably so horny for someone new at this point that she could not possibly be disappointed.
The look at his face of shock.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's not shock. I
he
mean,
seems
it's a
super
thing.
In love with his wife, and I think
but
it's so great.
But that has nothing to do with anything, okay? Okay? We need variety as men. Okay, it has nothing to do with how much you love your woman. Okay, but
okay, and I want to ask a question about your wife too. Are pregnant women like way hornier?
She's pretty. My wife, I gotta say, you know, it'd be for her to be way hornier than she is normally would be really tough. She'd pull a muscle if she was any more hornier. She is really a very, very amorous woman, and she's very, very and I got to admit, you know, I think at first I've had my issues. I need to warm up to the idea of making love to her because I know she really wants me to make love to her while she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And I want to be that kind of husband that makes love to his wife while
but
she's
you're
pregnant.
Freaked out poking.
I'm just
in
a
the
little
head.
Freaked out at the proximity of my stuff and the baby.
Yeah.
I'm a little freaked out. I'd hate to get baby come out with like, you know, a dent
know,
in
it's
it.
True with a dent. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid. I'm a little. It's not. I'm thoroughly attracted to her. I think
do
she's
just
gorgeous.
The tip.
It's just a little, just well, she, you know, that's the thing. My wife is such a horn dog. She's like a dude. She's like, you know what? She says it's about intimacy, but you know, she'd just be happy if I went down on her and put her to sleep.
Yeah, there you go.
She's just like
well,
a
then
she's just like a little pinky up the ass. She's just like that. She's just like that. Yeah. Now, but I tell you what, though, is that, you know, honestly, this is the kind of talk that really does sort of get. See, for me, I couldn't really cheat on my wife. Look at me. Look at how I put that. I couldn't really. But what I say is that, yeah, you know what, though? I am such a master of, like you said, theater, you know, visual is a theater of the mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, George Carlin said it, you know, it's very true, is that, you know, I don't remember the last time I had any kind of celebrity fantasy. I don't think. I mean, it's got to be real. It's got to be rational.
Yes,
it's got to be the lawyer in the building next door. It's
exactly.
Got to be
you know, the lady you see at the store
well, you know,
or something.
This is,
yeah.
This is why this is tough. I'll tell you what. Because to me, one of the hottest breeds of women in the world, hairdressers.
Hairdressers.
Women who work in hair salons are the hottest friggin' broads. They are so friggin' hot.
We should tell
sexy.
Everyone why he said that. Our new studio is above a hair salon.
Yes, a hair salon spa.
They're very
and already
sexy women, the women who do hair.
Yes.
Very, oh,
Already been introduced to a couple.
And they're very good with their hands.
Yes! Yeah. And they're good and they talk and the thing and it just, you know, so honestly, but that's the thing is you gotta, it has to be real. And I'm pretty good at that real, you know, theater of the mind thing. So yeah.
Me
I'm
too.
Kinda, I'm kind of happy with self pleasure.
Most women are not supposed to be very visual about right. these things, but oh man, I close my eyes and
yeah.
Yeah, it's
just
one of those
good
things.
Fantasy, yeah. And it helps when you're drunk or high and stuff.
What
too,
did
I'm
this
sure.
girl look like? What did she?
She's totally hot.
Yeah, celebrity.
Allie McBeal. Not a celebrity.
I'm saying, if of anybody, she would look like. Who would she? If you had to say, she looks like whatever.
Let me think about this.
That's a hard question because nobody looks like.
Well, like me?
Else.
No, like me. Like because I'm, you know, Nathan Lane, or like you said, a young Dudley Moore with the hair. You know, I mean, it's like
Dudley Moore.
You know, you have somebody that like you.
Who am I?
You, God, Wonder Woman.
Who's
Sam? Linda Carter. Wonder Woman. Sam.
No, that's a good idea. We should start figuring out what we're like. You know.
I forgot my headshot. I have to bring it tomorrow. You are
see, it's
adorable.
Hard to do.
Yeah.
thank you.
No, but people have a general look. I would say a general look would be along the lines of.
Better be a good one,
God.
Or else I'll get
no,
pissed.
I mean, no.
Jennifer Aniston.
I was
going to
say, like.
No, I hate
like
her. She's
next
hideous.
Door.
No.
Jennifer Aniston is the ugliest person I think I've ever
Are
seen.
Are you serious?
Yes.
She's got like a sparkly little
she's
face.
She puts herself, no, she puts herself together well, but she is not attractive. She is not a beautiful person. She's got that awful Greek bone structure and like this awful, like bony, pointy jaw. Mm. Ugh. She puts herself together well, don't get me wrong. Mm. But right. I think she is not an attractive person at all.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
And that's all I have to say about that. But I also...
that's all?
That's all I have to say about that. No, I want to tell you something funny. I want to start doing the word of the day every day.
Okay.
Because I get a word of the day emailed to me every day at 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you what the word of the day is.
Okay.
Actually, we're going to go with yesterday's word of the day because it's way better than today's word of the day. Cumshaw.
Okay.
That is the word of the day. Hold
yesterday's
on.
Yesterday's or
today's? That's yesterday's, but I'm making it today's word of the day because it's so
sounds
wonderful.
Sounds like cum shot, right?
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
Hold on, word.
No. What does it mean, cum shot.
Hold on 1 second.
Well, use it a sentence. Give me a spelling, first of all.
C-U-M-S-H-A-W.
Cumshaw.
What do you guys think it means?
I don't know. We can Google it, but I don't know what the hell.
Cumshaw, I would say... is a it's a building term. It's a Home Depot.
Nope.
Someone please call and help us.
I need a 5/16 cumshaw.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can join the PVC behind my wall. I can run those wires.
All right. I give up. You guys are awful. Okay. It means a present, a gratuity, also a bribe or a payoff. Using it in a sentence,
mm-hmm.
I never heard her ask for any cumshaw that weighed less than a ton and which required fewer than a dozen enlisted men and two trucks to move.
Uh-huh.
That sentence is by James Michener of the Los Angeles Times, October 19th, 1986. That's the last time that fucking word was used.
All right.
Cumshaw.
Wow. And what was today's word that you don't want to use?
Today's word of the day was agrarian. That's stupid.
Agrarian?
Yeah.
That's like
farmer.
Farming.
Yeah. That's a dumb word. So I'm going to be very picky with my words.
Okay.
So now they haven't been. We haven't been live on the air in a while. What did you think? What did you guys think of Palin the other night?
What'd you
think?
God, here we go.
No. What did you think? I won't get specific. I'll be talking about it on my show.
Yeah, you're going to talk about this. Neither one of us really watched it. So
really, okay.
Yeah,
How do you know I didn't?
I know. Okay. Because I know you already.
So they were both attractive.
But TJ, in breaking news.
Yes.
Okay, the Dow falls below 10,000.
Yeah, first time.
I'm sick of this.
First time since 2004.
Yeah, Susie, this is scary as fucking hell. You know that I sold my Google stock after losing money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But just since then, if I'd waited till now, I would have lost another about $800.
Really?
In less than a week. So
what goes down must come up.
Yes. Well, yeah, and vice versa. But but the question is, how many bodies are you going to have there strewn on the floor before it picks back up? You know. So.
I am not in the. I tell you what, I am still not in the market. My wife and I don't have. We have one money market account, one that's attached to like some kind of a mutual fund thing. But other than that, we're not in the market.
You know what? I think I might have told both of you guys. So my father, for Christmas a couple years ago, gave my sister and me both a severance package called a Master of the Universe. He made it like a whole like, you know, reality show for my sister mm-hmm. and me. And basically we had to invest our money in the stock market, and then we had to see like who could make more in the course of a year.
Nice.
And whoever made more got like another monetary present.
Right. You and squandered yours.
I squandered mine. So in this day and age, I am thankful to be a squanderer.
Wow. Yeah, cool. Well, yeah, be proud of everything you did.
I had a grand old time squandering my money, blacked out in my drunken stupors. I'd go home, and I was a brilliant stockbroker. I'd be like, someone mentioned this stock at the bar. Oh, that one. Oh, it's pink. Okay, I'll buy that
Who
one.
Who gave you the hanging?
Who gave? I think it was the girl.
Yeah.
Now, well, she was down there. It was a girl that was down there. Obviously, she's bi.
No, well, no, not necessarily. I mean, not by practice. I mean, does she?
I mean,
do
I don't. I don't consider myself to be bi.
Right, you just participate when the subject comes up.
Yeah,
you right. I'm sorry, that just doesn't quite apply.
It does apply. You're an idiot.
How am I an idiot?
Because you just asked a stupid question.
I did not. She even just said that she's not. She doesn't consider herself bi. I would say bi. So I say bisexual. But in practice, is she regularly with women as well as men, or is this one-off thing?
I have no idea.
Okay, let me ask you this, TJ. Yeah. Okay,
no, address me as idiot.
Okay, as idiot. It just sounded funny.
My other friend that was there last night called me a moron today. He's like, "You're such a moron. I can't believe you slept with my friend."
Okay, but what I'm going to ask is this. Okay, you're saying if she does it every once in a while, she's not bi, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay,
no.
Right. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You go and you have sex with a guy only once in your life.
Right.
Okay, are you gay?
No.
No?
No.
Well, you are. If you take
no,
a
you're
dick,
not.
If
no,
you take
you are
a dick
not.
Up your ass, you're gay.
Not
what
okay,
about a pinky?
Bye. Okay, bye. Pinky, the same thing. Okay.
I don't.
Two
think
guys
so.
Doing. Two guys doing the same girl at the same time.
See, now that
gay.
I don't. Now, I tell you what.
Gay.
When I see that in porn, and I see that, and I see the cocks touching, when it's like, you know, yeah
the double
touching.
Penetration.
Oh no! I don't need that. That would totally no.
How
I don't.
Those
the
DPs work. I've never like. I always try and like visual
breathing.
Figure
it's
it
all
out.
Okay,
breathing.
Look, it's very it's very simple.
Breathing.
No, she wants to know the way the position works. Okay, one guy is on his back. Okay.
Okay.
The girl rides him. Okay, she's on top, rides him, and then another guy comes from behind and sticks it to her in her
so
vagina.
So he's on his knees. The second guy.
No. Yeah. So the girl is riding on the guy that's lying down.
That just doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me.
I know. But some people like that stuff.
I don't want to feel another guy's nuts slapping against my
nuts.
I don't need that.
No, I don't even want to be in the same room with another penis. Are you kidding?
No, I don't need that at all. I don't need that at all.
I like it when the balls will come up and like, you know, they'll give you some clitoral stimulation and they
kind of
like bounce.
That's all part of God's plan. It's all God knew.
You like bouncy balls.
God knew it.
Not too saggy, not too hangy, but like a little bit of
So when he was banging her last night.
Yeah.
You
actually, it looks more like she was banging him.
She was riding on time,
and you kind of
like you fidgeted his nuts a little bit, like you kind of touched him a little bit. You kind of. Yeah.
I was fascinated. I was just watching because she was just the cutest thing in the world. She was just going. She kind of reminds me of like the girl next door.
Yeah,
you know, she's got a very high stress job, and
she really
drinks and parties like crazy.
She was
just bouncing and bouncing, and she was laughing and having a grand old time.
And this guy, was he good looking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good looking guy.
We are three very, very ridiculously good looking people.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Ridiculously good looking people.
Ridiculously good looking people.
Okay. Wow.
Well, we can't imagine. Everybody in LA is good looking.
On a Sunday night.
On a Sunday night.
The Lord's night.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, everyone was Jewish there too. So I guess their day is Saturday.
Yeah.
So on Saturday they wouldn't have done that.
Hell yeah, we would have.
You're Jewish?
I'm not Jewish. Do I look Jewish?
No, not at all. You are like the waspy looking thing. Yeah. But wait.
I bet she is.
Wait,
she's
those
Irish,
they're, but they're Jewish?
The girl was not, but everyone else at the house was.
Mm. Wait, where did
I'm
this
telling
happen?
You, those Jews are like taking over the world.
Wait. When you had this threesome last night,
yeah.
Oh, you should be wearing a skirt. You're gonna sit like that. You know, you're gonna sit like that. Wear a skirt. Wait, you know,
she did. You
know,
she did in front of one guest.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
In front of Phil.
Yeah. No, you had pants that day, or
white pants that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you've done it.
He's been sending
before.
Me text messages, by the way, saying "wanna fuck." And I'm like,
Well,
no.
But how is that different from the first text message you sent you?
It's not, but I don't know. It's just kind of shocking nowadays. And I'm just like, no, actually, I'm busy today.
Yeah.
How about tomorrow?
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, yeah. Okay. Yeah. A little afraid.
Where did the threesome take place?
In Beverly Hills.
At somebody else's house?
Yeah.
So there was a big party going on?
It was a pool. It was supposed to be a viewing of a movie in their screening room at the house.
I see.
But we never watched the movie.
So you went off. Oh, my gosh. So there were other people doing other stuff around.
Apparently, there were six of us for the
Sorry to be redundant here.
It's okay.
You're very redundant. You need to go back to the
You are lucky to have the... I am... You know what? I don't have to sit here. I didn't... I said I wasn't going to stay.
I'm going to abuse you if you... Well...
How the fuck do I know? How do I know?
Well, you have to assume something went on. And besides, you got to listen to the show.
And besides...
How can I in the car?
TJ, don't fucking scream in our ears. You're blowing up our ears here. But no, TJ. What I was going to ask you, Susie, is
this.
Yes, dear. Does it turn... TJ?
What?
What the fuck, man? Don't give me that hurt look.
No, I'm not hurt. Go ahead.
Boys. Don't make me come over.
Yeah, I mean,
either one of you.
The moment we have to start worrying about what we say, TJ,
trust me,
that's
I
the day
am
we're
so
going to close
fucking
the fucking
entertaining.
Door.
If I ask an extra question, nobody's going to tune out. Trust me. I am too funny for people to walk away from. If I ask the same question twice, trust me.
You love
and especially
the arrogance?
With the subject matter.
I need that arrogance. Because Johnny Dan will be here in a few hours fucking not kissing my ass like he should be.
Oh,
all
yeah.
right, go ahead.
Oh. Okay, Sam.
I don't know why I said that.
What question were you
My
ask?
Question is this. Has it ever happened when someone would ask you, do you want to fuck, and you did?
No.
Okay, because it's a... I mean, what kind of a fucking line is that? You know, does he really think it's going to work?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe with that girl, he could do that, you know, but not...
In other words,
not decent people,
is your question, would he have had
not
a shot without the girl?
People.
Is that what your question is? Would she have had a? Would he have had a shot with her?
No, no, no. I'm sorry. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about Phil, this other guy.
Oh, ew, Phil, yeah.
Oh, ew, Phil.
Yeah.
Would Phil have a shot?
No.
So Phil's just barking up the wrong tree.
I mean, at
because
first...
Because he's so accustomed to getting every girl that he wants.
At first when he came into the studio and I was like talking to him, you know, I was thinking in my head, I was kind of like, okay, the swinger lifestyle sounds interesting to me. And it does. It does sound fascinating. But then again, I don't think I would be able... I don't know. Last night was different, you know, just kind of like fooling around and having fun. Really, it was actually quite nice. But but I don't know. I don't feel like that was... Like, I'm not a lesbian, so I'm not going to be, like, attached to Allie McBeal over here.
Right.
So, I don't know. I guess I could maybe have sex without having feelings.
Oh, yeah, you have before.
God,
what the fuck?
Sam and I are like...
But that's not the question. That was
not the question.
No,
that kind of is my... Well, I guess that's my question to myself.
Yeah. But no, the question is, you know, would you do it just because somebody said, do you want to fuck?
I
mean, he probably has a better chance.
This is coming from you who thinks I should have sex for money.
You can make a lot of money, kid.
Yeah. No, I never said it that way.
You're like, you like having sex? Why not get paid for it?
Yeah, but I didn't say... Yeah, but I didn't say...
He's Mr. Businessman. Yeah. I'm like...
No, but I never... said that you should become a whore. I just meant
that is a whore. That's the definition of a whore.
No. If you are with a guy, you might as well find someone with money. That's all I said.
Oh,
because
Sam.
You're gonna fuck it. You're gonna be fucking him anyway.
Sam's so awesome. Sam is awesome. I love Sam's angle. I just love the business aspect to the whole thing. Oh, you are funny. That is so friggin' funny. Might as well find a guy that has money. That's
exactly.
Awesome. That is so.
I mean,
and
that's
true.
What I would have done. You know. I mean, why be poor?
Yeah.
Well, now, okay, fine. Well,
there's great guys that have money. I mean, it doesn't mean that if you have money, you're not a great guy.
Oh, when
guy,
I see beautiful
know?
Women who are not, when I, there are, you know, there are like these stunning, gorgeous women that are not like, I don't understand why you don't use it for.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Well, from now on, I'm interviewing for men that have jobs and that
there
have money and will take me out to dinner.
Exactly. Enough with the broke guys.
Yeah, and you know what? I think it's about time you start dating older.
Older, yeah?
Yeah, sweetheart. No more of these
Franzes. How old are you, 40? Yeah, like 40-year-old.
You really, but you're intellectually so far. You need a guy that's been around.
I dated someone that was 60 when I was 21.
All right, no, we don't need a cartoonish, creepy fucking thing. I'm talking about...
That is creepy, isn't it?
It's not. He looks like he's 40.
It doesn't matter.
It does, too.
It doesn't matter.
No more of this Franz stuff.
Okay.
No more of this vagabond with the... What the hell was the... What the fuck was this with his hair, by the way? Did he
what
lose
the fuck
a bet?
Is with everything about
did he,
him?
Did he
I
lose
don't know.
A bet?
No, that was three different haircuts by three different people. One was a mohawk that he did, and then the other two on the side were share cuts done at the same time by different people.
You know, honestly, I mean, just really, this should just be the beginning of the internet phase.
But you know what the point is, though, is that you have to understand, she sits here and she complains about him, but she's in love with him.
I know.
You know, so you got to be careful what you tell her, because
I love him.
You're hurting her feelings, you know?
No.
You know what, though? Honestly, if I'm hurting your feelings, well, then, you know what? Then I'll hurt your damn feelings. Because you know what, then? I'll shit on you for it. Say what we want, and I tell you what, the thing is that he just, you know, I'll say it right here. You know, you're talking about a threesome. I'll be honest too. This guy doesn't deserve another 45 seconds with you. Franz does not deserve another 45 seconds in your life with any kind of importance.
Well, considering that I'm pretty much telling him on the air that I cheated on him last night with the two other people, I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Well, I would hope so. I would hope so. You know,
and I'm just pissed off right now because the motherfucker's in New York for 2 months, and you would think he would like have the decency to call me ever. No, he doesn't. I had to call his father and have his father come. I was like, when you see your son, I was like, you need to go and dial my phone number and hand it to your son and say, Susie's on the phone. That's the only way I got to even call and wish my boyfriend a happy birthday.
Yeah. I think it's the challenge for you.
That's what I'm trying to tell Sam.
Yeah.
I need attention.
Yeah. Wait, he's right. Go ahead.
You know, I mean, it's the challenge for her to get the attention from him because he doesn't give it to her.
Right.
Then she's going crazy and she's going, and it's like.
You're right.
Because you were talking about the attention. I mean, that's what we were talking about, that she needs attention.
And that's why I act out.
And if somebody gives you the attention, you just move on to the next one because you like the challenge, I think. You know, you like to test it or whatever.
It's getting hot in here.
You're a codependent. You're a co-effing dependent.
Yeah. Well, fine. We need.
Here we are analyzing Susie.
It's just one of them things. I mean, a little bit of you need. It's the thrill of the chase. It's the wanting to change him. He's a naughty boy.
Yeah,
he's a naughty boy.
To fix him. Yeah,
fix him. Right. Yeah. See, Sam's right. You know?
I am a fixer.
You know. Well, no, actually, are you though?
No.
Right.
Maybe.
No, you're a fixer in terms of the action of fixing, but you never really quite accomplish it because he's a piece of shit. There you go. I mean, that's that. I mean, you know, there's people I should be nervous about offending. I shouldn't be nervous about offending this kid. He's a piece of shit. Fuck him. Fuck him sideways on Sunday.
Okay. Well, TJ cares, you see.
I care a lot. I know.
He's looking out for you.
You're a special kid.
Yeah, he's looking out for you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm putting it out there that I'm interviewing for new boyfriends. Must have a job. Must be tall and devastatingly handsome.
For all you know, he could have probably fucked somebody by now anyway.
Probably.
You know?
Probably
did. I mean, if he missed you, he would have called you.
Yeah, he probably did. That's why he's not calling. He's got a slight guilt streak for now that he's banged these three girls in New York, he's not calling you. Because he doesn't have a tattoo
bed. He was just riding on your tailcoat, pretty much. And I mean, she gave him a place to live. She gave him food. It's like a dog, you know? I mean, you start feeding it. It keeps coming back.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like a straight ride. Like the Israelis, you let their dogs wander around the neighborhood. Sam and I had a funny conversation one time about it. That was funny. That was really funny that day. Somebody came up with it.
DJ's on fire.
It was a brand new stereotype that I had never heard of. You know, blacks are lazy. Women are gold diggers. Jews, business.
They're cheap.
Irish drunks,
Jews
right?
Are cheap.
Jews are cheap.
She knew that one.
Irish are drunk. Okay, Scottish are drunk. And now there was this whole brand new one. Somebody said, "Yeah, there's friggin' Israelis in the neighborhood. They let their dogs and their cats wander." And I said, "Really? I never even heard of that." And I was
That's
it's like,
"What he noticed?"
They said it. No, it was a friend of mine said that I was talking one day about how a dog was wandering around the neighborhood, and somebody had said, "He goes, yeah, it's all those Israelis in my neighborhood." There's another friend of mine who owns a house in a different neighborhood, and he says, "Yeah, those Israelis, they let their dogs and cats and everything wander around." Like, and I said, "What? Like it's a kibbutz?" And he goes, "Yeah, like it's a kibbutz." He goes, "They must." He goes, "They just let them wander." And I thought, I've never heard that about transplanted Israeli. I've never heard that stereotype in my life.
I haven't either.
It cracked me up. Yeah. That's right. We talked about that. You're like, "I don't know. I never heard that one."
Yeah. So it's not true?
You're like,
"Well, I'm not saying it's not true. Maybe his neighbor have seen something that I haven't."
It cracked me up. It just made me laugh. It was like this brand new stereotype I'd never heard of. I was like, "Oh, wow. Somebody came up with a new one." Yeah, that's hot.
Yeah.
I think you're constantly in the business of seeing if people are noticing you.
Yeah.
Okay, no, you're but waving
for
your
the record, freaking... she's putting on lipstick.
I'm not putting on lipstick. He's waving around his Burt's Beeswax.
Oh, fuck me.
And I like moist lips, so fuck you.
See? Oh,
okay, she
awesome.
Likes moist lips.
And she
I think I do
you.
Too, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Moist lips do look
good
sexy,
to have her
huh?
Around. Good
yeah.
to
See,
have
isn't
around.
That much better?
That's much better, Susie.
I hosted Woodstock 99.
Really?
I was born in 1968, so I was only 1 year old when the first one happened. But, yeah, in 1999, I hosted the 30th anniversary Woodstock 99.
That's right across the river from where I mostly grew up.
Really? Yeah, that's right. I think I told you, I stayed at this Turning Stone Casino. And I introduced Kid Rock, And I
introduced...
Because
I want to be a cowboy,
yeah,
baby.
I introduced Kid Rock. I introduced the Brian Setzer Orchestra.
From the Stray Cats.
Uh-huh. Yes. I had a beer... I didn't have a beer with, but I was in the back. I had my own little cubicle. The big, huge stage. And just off the... I had my own trailer right behind the stage and a little cubicle there. And I'm sitting there sitting there with Elvis Costello while he's tuning his guitar. And we were talking about somebody who was on stage and had their throwing bottles and shit. And I said, what the hell are you going to do with the bottles? And he's like, I don't know. He goes, I just got to just keep playing. He goes, nah, tell him to fuck off and stop throwing the bottles. I said, okay. I said, well, you're Elvis, so you know. And then there was this one funny time where I'm sitting there and I'm watching the monitor and I'm looking at the list and I'm seeing the introductions and I'm getting I've got all these people telling me who's coming up next and what I'm supposed to say and I'm getting these lists of announcements just like the original Woodstock. I had to stand there and make announcements and tell people, oh, this kid's missing and go find so-and-so. They're in the medical tent and all that shit. And so I'm sitting there and I look next to me and there's this dude fiddling around with a guitar and he looked like a mongoloid. He looked like they had Down syndrome, right? And I'm thinking, he didn't look actually Down syndrome, but he looked special. He didn't look all there. He looked like mildly retarded. I'm not kidding. And I'm looking at him and he's fiddling his guitar pretty good. I'm like, wow, maybe he's like one of them savants. Maybe he's like special, but whatever. But I figure he has to be somebody's cousin who's performing. Mm-hmm. And he just looks weird. And he gets up and I say, hey, how you doing? And he didn't really say anything. He sort of just stared at the ground and walked out. And my manager came in.
Was he drooling?
My manager comes in and he goes, dude, you know who that was? And I said, no, man. I said, I'd like to know who to freak. He goes, that was Robbie Krieger from The Doors.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. I know him.
And you know who's friends with him too? Evan. Evan, formerly of the station. He's friends with Robbie. Yeah.
Talk about a drunk. His wife. Oh, no.
Really?
Oh, lordy. He used to come play at the Malibu Inn all the time when I worked up there.
There you go. Yeah, he's around the valley. He lives like in Sherman Oaks Studio City.
He does kind of look... Ooh.
Yeah, I thought he... And it turns out it's a door.
It was a door.
He was about to go out and play with Creed. Yeah.
Come on, baby, my fire.
I mean, he's the shit. You know, Woodstock, that was really cool. And I saw so many boobs. I saw more tits than you can imagine.
I showed everyone my tits on Friday.
What was on Saturday?
A party at the Malibu Inn. I just got wasted. And I had date night with my roommate.
You see, we're never at the right place, DJ.
Never. You make sure you just make a phone? Now, those photos aren't on the internet.
I don't know. I'm going to... Oh, I don't know. No, I wish I could say that. Did I tell you this? I don't remember if I told you this or not. But so when I was in Boston, my friend Scott, he found like this porn website. I think I was telling you.
Yes. And then he saw you.
They have like a hot chick of the day. I was the hot chick of the day on some porn website from the Topless March, TJ.
Yeah. Remember the Topless March where she put the bottle caps over her nipples?
So my friend Joe, that's his alias. Shit, I always do that. But my friend Joe in Massachusetts, he always looks for the hot chick of the day at this porn website. And I pop up smiling at him, and he sent me a link being like, is this fucking you? He's like, oh my God, Susie, I've been looking for someone I know on porn for 18 years, and I finally found it.
Here's one for you.
But that's not porn.
Do we have about 60 seconds? I don't know how your clock is going.
Go ahead.
Dig this. Talk about the internet. As a friend of mine, and, you know, I got a lot of friends who are, like, in many phases of show business in town. Mm. On different levels, everything from production to starring and from music to I just have friends, you know?
Right.
And,
because you're kind of a big deal.
Well, no. What I'm People saying is that you. Between my wife, no, between mainly from my wife's business, her parents, the parents of the kids at her studio, that's where a lot of these friends come from, you know, because we have a lot of industry people. And yeah, from my time when I had my little brush with almost fame. But anyway, me and my buddy, there was this girl, this really spectacular, spectacular girl. Mm-hmm. And, built like a freight train. And I, you know, and, you know, and yet a weird thing about her face, I said, man, was she not a fella? I said, was she not a fucking guy at some point?
Really?
And he goes, nah. I said, no, you know. And my buddy, this guy I'm talking to, is a little bit older than me, and he's not quite hip to like some stuff. And I said, man, I'm telling you, they do shit. And this girl, those cheekbones are not like, those are not natural cheekbones. Mm. Those fucking things. And now everybody says, oh, you look at the Adam's apple. Man, you know, that's not as... Because they do
you
things
You can have
now,
an Adelapalopoly.
They do it. They shave it down. So anyway, long story short, he's convinced.
I just made that word up.
He's convinced that she's not a girl, whatever. I'm on a site. I take a look at this one site, and it's like a compilation site from all these different, and I couldn't believe, there's her face.
You're looking at tranny porn?
No, not tranny porn at all. No, it's regular porn. It's straight porn. And there's her face, and I was like, oh my God. So what got me thinking about this is how, like, you know, how lucky your buddy, your friend actually finds you, a friend of his, topless. I mean, what I would give, there are so many girls that I know on just a daily basis, I would love to come across on the internet topless.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
I could throw one in their direction.
Yeah.
And anyway, so there's this girl, and I click on the thing. Sure enough, friggin' cock.
Really?
Oh no!
Friggin' cock.
Wow.
Friggin' balls. A pre-op transsexual.
Really?
And I said, and I can't wait to show my buddy this fuck, and he's gonna go no, like because she. I mean, and by the way, they are the most high. They are the highest paid people in porn. By the way,
really? Transsexual.
The highest paid people
really?
In the adult industry are pretty. Good-looking, believable transsexuals.
Really?
Transsexuals really? That are, yes, they are the highest paid. Gay men are next.
And how would you find out about that? How would you know that?
I know people in, I have a couple of friends of mine own a few big porn.
Oh, really?
Business. Yeah, I have a couple. As a matter of fact, that's going to be part of my show. I was talking, because now that we're here,
yes,
it's much easier to get a lot of the people that
porn
I've always
stars.
Wanted to have on
we're
the show.
To
well, just, you know, some people, like, I have some friends across the street at CBS Radford. We're right across the street, you know, from a
I
lot of...
I thought you just said CBS at first.
No, from CBS Radford. We're across the street from a very, very
There's
famous...
There's a fucking spider falling right in front of my face.
You are such
this?
A baby.
Does it have
are
a
cock? Are you afraid of the spider?
Baby?
Are you afraid of the spider?
No, I just thought it was an...
Is it a guy?
Oh, don't kill
it. Is it a girl spider with a cock?
Don't kill it.
I don't know where it is. Oh, there it is.
Oh,
don't kill it.
Grab it
no.
by the cock.
To do with it.
Grab it by the cock.
Okay,
you're
going to
kill it, aren't you?
Okay.
Thank
See,
you.
Those Israelis, they just let them...
Yeah, I let it live. I let it live.
Thank you.
I'm a good Israeli.
You're a good Israeli. Oh,
yeah.
Hey.
I'm a good Israeli.
No, you'd have to look far and wide for a bad Israeli. I love Israel. But
now,
yeah,
I have
so
a question.
Yeah.
I dated someone. I dated an Israeli once upon a time, and right. he would They're not tough. Introduce me to his parents.
Really?
Well, you're not Jewish.
Yeah, because they probably wouldn't accept you.
And he also said his dad looks like Saddam Hussein.
Really?
So but I always like really wanted to meet his parents.
Because
like,
you're a Shiksa.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Wow. Yeah, that's exactly it, yeah. In fact, when I was 20, 21, I had a girlfriend who was 5 years older than me and not Jewish. You can imagine my mom's reaction, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So
what
she
was
would
her
not
reaction?
Accept. She would not accept her. You know, she sort of pretended I didn't, that it wasn't going to last, that I didn't, you know, and all that. And you know what, though? Mm. Sure enough. I never married her. But I don't think it was for that reason. You know, I get bored after a while.
Yeah.
Did you ever, so would you ever have dated or married a non-Jew, do you think? Because you're not really practicing, are you?
No, I'm not practicing. But you know what? It creates a whole set of problems for the kids and stuff. You know, it's like which way you raise them and all that stuff. So, I don't know. And you got to understand something, though. Judaism is not about religion. It's about heritage, you know. It's about, like, it has more to do with just religion, you know. It's the way things have been done.
It's the history,
I have
know?
To pretend I'm Jewish peaceful. For something.
Okay.
So I might need your help, like, making it sound a little bit more legit and real. There's this program called Birthright. And they pay for you to go to Israel and go and just have a wonderful vacation. But you just have to, like, pretend you're Jewish. So I'm going to be Jewish by association from you.
Okay, good. You can say I injected you with some Jewishness.
Yes, I'll be Jewish by injection.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating thing, though. I never really quite thought of that. You know, I mean, I always think in terms of Judaism and history and the plight of the chosen people of that tribe and all that. And I think about the history and the thousands and thousands of years. But yet, I never think of it in terms of what it is to be Jewish and the fact that it's not so much just about religion. It's about where
I ate some kosher last
from.
Night.
The salami.
You did.
She had a salami.
I had kosher salami.
Did you blow him?
I think so.
You blew him?
I think so. I don't really remember.
Excuse me. You just said you didn't touch him.
No, I said he didn't. I didn't sleep with him.
Oh, you mean you didn't have intercourse?
I did not have sex with that man.
Okay.
But you might have blown him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to have to do some more investigation on what happened. But yeah, so he's a kosher Jew from last night.
Oh, really?
So yes, I can see. That'll be my link to Judaism.
She amazing. Could tell.
Amazing. What a life you have.
Do you like uncut too? Or?
Oh, I love uncircumcised.
Really?
Love it.
Yeah.
Love
really?
It. Yes.
Some chicks
it's so
like
much
it.
Easier to like handle. I mean, it's like, okay, you know when you go to like a dollar store and they've got like those little water slinkies?
Yes.
That you
yes.
play? For some reason, as a little girl, I was always fascinated with them. Now I know why.
Yeah, it slips out of your hand. Yeah, when you
slips right out of your hand. But I mean, uncircumcised penises are the best thing in the world. Like you could just like really handle them a lot better.
Really?
Oh, I find them so much easier to manipulate.
But they're disgusting with all the smegma and everything.
No, it was just wash.
Yeah, but
take
still.
Take a fucking bath.
I don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Vagina lips, you know, get all built up in there, too. You just take a bath every day. You're fine.
That's true. You should.
Schmegma was going to be another word of the day. You fucking ruined it. Thank you very much.
Smegma. There's always room
it's
for
like
schmegma.
The grossest, yeah.
There's always room. You could say schmegma 9 times. It could still be the word of the
day. I actually quit a job once in Colorado. I was, like, waiting tables at this really high-end restaurant, and I was just totally done with it. I knew I was done. But so this guy, Mariano, comes up to me, and he's like, Susie, you go. You clean the ketchup bottles. And I'm like, fucking clean the schmegma off the ketchup bottles yourself. I quit. And he was like, wait, what is schmegma?
Oh, that's funny.
It's like
is
your
it
son.
Schmegma? I thought it was smegma, no?
Smegma, yeah.
Schmegma.
But like, you know who started
schmeg.
You know what it is? That's a Howard Stern thing. To is be it? Honest with you, that Howard was calling it schmegma.
Oh, because he
years
calls a lot
and
of
years
things.
Ago. And yeah. It kind of that's kind of how people took to calling it.
Okay, yeah.
But yes, it is smegma.
Yeah.
Because
he says
like, so
he
much
says
better.
Sphincter,
yes.
Right?
Howard is very, very responsible for a lot of that
Jewish,
stuff.
Very Jewish.
Yeah. He's if Howard is at that. He's had that kind of impact on society. He's actually changed how we say something.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. He has.
And
you know what?
We
probably would have never thought of doing a show like we are now if it hadn't been for Howard.
Oh,
Stern
if not but for Howard.
You know,
this is a good word for your son to look up.
Okay.
Schmegma.
Schmegma.
I was talking with the son on Facebook. Once upon a time.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just too funny because I was like, tell your dad to put some fucking Vagisil on it and get over it and come out past his bedtime. And Sean's like, what's Vagisil? I was like, oh my God. I'm like, look at him.
Oh my God. And Sean's like, can we just get back to talking about your boobs?
Yeah.
Can we just get back to that?
Oh, that kid is too funny.
One day he's awesome. Going to have to flash him, Susie.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Just think, I mean, he's
going to make sure Sam and I are there for the love of Jesus.
I mean, just think about it. He could be masturbating to that for years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just for seeing it once, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
I think he's
and
got
do
enough.
A little dance.
Oh, yeah. I think he's got enough to work. This is your son.
I know. Exactly. That's why I'm saying
No. Honestly,
I need to take care of him.
Yeah, no. If you were to show him your breasts, you would Well, actually, we can't really talk about that until he's 18.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, why? That, you expose boobs. That's not a sexual thing at all.
Okay.
Excuse me.
We're planning it, though. But anyway, if you were to do that,
I'm going to jail. Thanks a lot, guys.
This kid's life would just, like, blossom. Because,
he needs to see real boobs.
I mean, it took me a long time.
Why doesn't he
get
a girlfriend and feel that?
I don't know why he doesn't.
I had so many boyfriends at 15. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you're a girl, shit.
Yeah, you're a beautiful girl.
Everyone had seen my boobs at that age.
You know? Yeah, I mean, for a girl, you get all the guys you want. But for a guy, it's pretty hard.
It's
really?
That's seriously not as easy.
At 15, are you kidding?
Yeah. That's why I'm secretly kind of...
You gotta go for like a 12-year-old if you're 15.
I'm kind of hoping that my wife has a little girl because I just know how tough it is to be a fella.
Yeah.
It's so tough.
But you know what? It's hard to be a father of a girl. So,
I guess.
You don't know who the hell she's going to bring home.
I have a feeling you're going to have...
Look at Susie. I mean...
Oh, God almighty. Yeah. Oh, can you
my
imagine?
Father, you know, he never really did this seriously, but he had this application to date my daughter. And, like, the first question was, do you drive a van? If so, discontinue filling out this form and leave my house now. And at the bottom, it had, like, a look-alike section. Like, look like Matt Damon or George Clooney. Like, check.
Funny.
But for the most part, my dad never really cared about any of the men I dated.
Really?
My stepfather, he would just do this kind of as a joke, but he would always ask like the guys that would come to pick up my sister and me, do you have a penis? Like the first thing, and the guys were like, sir, I don't really know how to respond to that. He's like, please refrain from using it on my daughter.
Okay, yeah.
And the guys were like, oh, okay.
I just think what a guy, you know what, you take a kid, you tell your daughter, go ahead, you get ready. And you take the kid into the living room. You give him a nice, firm squeeze in the back of his neck. No, I mean, you know what? Seriously, you give a kid. You know, you got to remember how you were, how I was. You know, a firm on the back of the neck. Say, look, I'll be your best friend. Look forward to seeing you around the house.
Yeah.
You do one fucking thing. You do one fucking thing, pal. I'm telling you,
sometimes it could totally be the girl. I had this one boyfriend. Oh my God, he was so hot. He was like four. I was 16 and he was 20. But he had never had a girlfriend, and he used to race motocross. 20. And I thought it was so hot that he raced motocross. Oh my God,
it was. Yeah.
But so he'd never had a girlfriend. My sister was like, "Oh, no one can ever date Tom. Like he won't even look twice at girls." I was like, "I'll get him." And so like I actually like set out to like corrupt this poor man. And so all of a sudden, next thing you know, I'm his girlfriend. I'm like, "Ha ha!" to my sister, "I got this man." So I would actually have him like in the pool. I'm like trying to give him like a blowjob, like in the pool, and he's like, I'm like skinny dipping, naked swimming around the pool, and he's like, "Your dad's gonna be home any second. Oh my gosh, put your clothes on. Please get out of the pool. Please put your clothes on." And I'm like, "No, I love being naked. Come on, just hop in the pool."
Bad news.
And the poor guy was like scared shitless of my dad. 16.
Jesus Christ, that's statutory.
I mean, I'm telling
you.
I'm telling you,
this man was like petrified of me, and yeah. I was just like jailbait, dangling myself.
Jailbait big time.
And then listen to this. And then he finally.
What would you do, TJ?
He told me he quit motocross. He quit racing motocross so he could spend more time with me. And that was the only reason I wanted to stay at him anyway. And then I was like, ew, really? And then I broke up with him right after he sold his bike.
I would sincerely run away. I mean, you can't, especially in this day and age, you cannot hang around. I tell you what, man, you know, when I'm at Andy's studio, you know, I mean, it's funny, you know, there are kids that really love me and they want to come up and give me a hug and that kind of thing. I'm really very conscious of that. Very conscious.
You know, when
that.
I was a teacher, I was a substitute teacher, sometimes girls would come over and hug me or want to.
Right.
And I said, no, please. Please, because, you know, I mean, they look for shit like this.
Especially because kids make shit up. Kids see stuff on TV. You know, man, prime time, 8 o'clock in the evening is when they do specials about molestation and this and that and there's all this stuff. You know, and plus stuff on the internet and what they're teaching the kids in schools and stuff like that. And kids, you know, it's true, it's come at it in many of these cases, too, where people lie on the witness stand. Kids will repeat back what it is they're told. They're given leading questions.
Yep.
And they're almost prepared. Now, listen, I mean, I'm the first got to say I want to see you know, capital punishment for, you know, child rapists, molesters.
Yes,
I really
absolutely.
Want that, but what I'm saying is I don't want to see people railroaded. And so my, you know, my thought
process
is,
I'm trying to railroad my statistics professor into getting something that I can blackmail him with, because like no, I'm serious, like my ex-fiance is a Photoshop genius, and he's like, all right, let me Photoshop a picture of like him, like, you know, grabbing your boob or like pinching you on the ass or something. And I'm like, please, I need something to blackmail this fucker with, because wearing a short skirt, no underwear, front row, nothing works for this fucking professor. So I'm seriously.
Have you done that?
Oh, yes.
You've literally done that.
How do you think I got an A in math last semester? My math teacher last semester actually came up for my final exam, and he was like, "That's the wrong answer." Erased it, wrote the right one, erased the next one that was wrong, wrote the right one. He absolutely loved me. This fucking stats teacher, he cannot be bribed, he cannot be blackmailed, like nothing is going to work.
He's a figler.
He actually wants you to learn the fucking material, and he's like, it's working because I'm forced to study every day.
He's got to be a figler.
What's that mean?
It's gay, it's fag. It's Yiddish and fag.
He's from the Ukraine. I don't know. He's funny.
I'm up on my Yiddish.
Yeah.
Wow.
But seriously, like, I'm having the reverse problem of like teacher-student harassment. So it's bullshit.
Maybe there's something wrong with your vagina, sweetheart.
No, trust me, it works just fine.
Could be a little something, maybe.
I'm told I have a beautiful vagina, by the way.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, she was told by a woman.
By a woman.
Yeah.
And then I was like, really? I don't know, like, what's the difference? Then she showed me hers, and I was like, ah!
You see, TJ, and I suggested that she let us judge for ourselves.
Uh-oh, not after last night. It was abused. I'm telling you guys, like, look at me.
That's a...
What happened to me?
You took a beating. You took a beating.
Yeah.
You took a beating.
She doesn't remember what happened.
Wow. Yeah. That's you got.
Yeah.
I know. No, Sam and I have a bet right now. I'm not drinking for a week.
Yeah.
Starting
today. She's not drinking for a week because I think she's addicted and she claims she isn't.
How often do you drink?
Nightly.
Nightly. And a lot. Like a whole box of wine. Not a bottle. A box.
It holds 6.6 liters.
6.6 liters?
Yeah.
Excuse me. I thought it was 4. Wow. Can you imagine that, TJ? Okay, and she's not an alcoholic.
Well.
No. She's not an alcoholic.
No.
I'm not. I just like to drink.
I thought you said that you were, but that you don't go.
Well, I don't need to drink. I just like to drink. I choose to drink because I like to have fun. What? You guys suck.
One of these days, you know what? Here's the thing.
When I stop drinking, I'm not going to be able to come in and have fun threesome stories.
Well, we didn't tell you not to. I just asked you if you could, and you
just
volunteered.
Wait. You are going to pay for this, Mister. Right. I am going to be the most miserable, boring host you've ever seen.
But that what? Because you're not drinking, so.
No, because if I'm not drinking, that means I'm not going to go out because I don't want to have the temptation to drink. So I'm going to be sitting in my house every night doing homework and not going out and playing.
Good, and maybe become clean and then start doing some more more productive things.
Is that
and
a
wake
bite
up.
Bite mark on my thigh.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, keep drinking.
I mean, you're at a point where you don't even know who you're fucking anymore. You know, that's
I
pretty
do
serious.
Too. Ally McBeal and the Jew.
Pretty serious.
But the thing is, you gotta. You know, I don't know. It's one of these things where you know, I just. If you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna not or drink or whatever, it's just you gotta. I don't know. I have to. The thing is that you know,
Mr. Judgmental over here, just because you quit smoking and drinking, now the rest of us have to be miserable.
Yeah, it's just one of them things that you know. It's like I just know for a fact that really people.
Why don't I go be celibate too?
People who drink, God forbid, don't you talk that way? Don't you talk that way? People who drink too much ultimately
does not hurt your life.
People,
okay?
Alcoholics who don't stop drinking ultimately end up in one of three places: either in jail,
institution,
or death.
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
On that note,
and that's
just, I'm just working on my liver. I'm trying to make it into a nice foie gras of wine.
Wow! Oh, so you're marinating your liver?
I am marinating my liver.
She's preparing
yeah,
it.
She's
yeah,
she's preparing it for Dr.
Yeah,
Lecter.
So it'll yes, be really cooked.
I love Hannibal Lecter. I love those movies. Yeah.
Really?
Silence of the Lambs.
You could have been a good Stallings.
Oh God,
you'd,
I love
you would have
it,
done a good job playing Jodie Foster.
Mm. You think?
Speaking of yeah, Dykes.
Yeah. She's not gay.
She's got
she
a,
came out.
She,
shut up.
She did. She
really
came
when?
Out. Yeah. Not too long ago, right?
She, yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. She, I mean, even if she did, I mean, she. Come on. She's a fella.
Wow.
No, no. She
she's
came
butch,
out. I'm telling
butch,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Craziness. Yeah. Actually, Rhonda
DeFelice, yeah.
She sent me a really funny Facebook message because I posted up the thing saying thank you to the man in the van who found my wallet.
Yeah.
And she was like, it puts the lotion on its skin or it gets the hose. Because, you know, the rapist van from
yep,
Silence of the Lambs.
It puts the
what
lotion
the fuck
on
did you
skin,
do to your lotion, speaking of which?
Fucked up my Burt's Bees.
What are you yeah, doing? There's schmeg all over the place.
Okay, this means we got to wrap up the show because people are losing interest here. We're getting distraction all over the place. So thank you for joining us on the first day from the new
yeah,
studio.
Great job. You know what? And you know what? I would, even coming in here would have been totally wasted if I didn't say this on your show. Congratulations. Well done. You have made a huge step for us at LATalkRadio.com, therefore for all of our listeners. You have literally taken us to the next level in one series of decisions that you made by leaving
yep,
where we were, coming here. I tell you what, things are about to take off. Literally, figuratively, every because of you.
Right.
I know. I'm super
listen,
excited.
You yeah, started the business. Talent has come along, and we've gotten it to a certain level. And now you, as ownership, have now stepped back in, and you have now had nothing to do with talent moving mm, this business.
Cool.
You made the choice. So, Sam, congratulations. And
thank you very
as
much.
Your, as your first, one of your first signees.
Yes, first one of the first guests I also. And yeah, and of course.
Yes.
Yeah, he was with us
I was
from
your
the
first,
beginning.
Yeah, I mean, Greg yeah, Rempe, I think, first, might have been involved. But I
no,
mean,
no, no. It
no,
was you
it
and Johnny and
me
you guys.
And Johnny was like the next day.
Oh, yeah. TJ was your first?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
aww,
he was my first.
Oh, boys.
Yeah. And now you can get your nose out of my ass, TJ.
Ah, no, right, it's, it was
come
very
on,
sincere.
Just a pinky?
No pinkies. All right. Well, this is it for us. Susie, thanks a lot. Go get some rest. And,
no rest, homework.
No more blackouts, please. Okay?
I'm not drinking
we
this
care
week.
About
you,
fucking,
you. Day, you made me boring.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm going to take the responsibility now.
Sayonara.
Okay. Thank you, TJ. Of course, he's coming up not next, but at noon to 2 every day. TJ McCormick, very funny man, very interesting, likes to talk about politics a lot and everything else. So you know who you need to call into, TJ, is our new host, Keith Barney. And
right,
he's going to have some controversial non-PC topics to talk about.
Oh, really?
And he's going to be on the Zen Cynic on Thursdays from 7 to 9.
That's a great addition to his station.
Yeah, definitely. He's very funny, very good. And we do have a lot of great shows. I mean, I'm really, really
stuff.
Happy.
This is good stuff.
And Susie's already left the building, in her mind anyway. Yeah. So
I'm in Facebook world.
Yes.
La,
and,
la, la, la.
And we want to thank David Ignatius, of course, the author of Body of Lies.
Yeah,
have you heard of
great.
The movie, TJ, coming up this weekend?
I heard
with
you
Russell
interviewing
Crowe.
Him when I walked in. That's amazing.
Yes. So we want to thank him, and he's he knows everything you want to know about the CIA, which is amazing. And I started reading the book, and if you guys like any kind of espionage fiction, this is it. I mean, this is like amazing. And I don't have much time to read, but I think I'm going to read this book.
Cool.
So, and then to the rest of you, thank you very much. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back right here tomorrow, same time.